What a privilege for me to be able to welcome all of you to the Archdiocese of St. Louis and to be able to celebrate Mass with you in what we call the Old Cathedral, actually the first cathedral west of the Mississippi, built in 1835, recently restored. But this is the oldest building in the city of St. Louis in constant use. So we're very proud of our old cathedral. You make it even more special by your presence here today. In the homily, when St. John Paul II beatified Padre Pio, he said, "Padre Pio shared in the Passion with a special intensity the unique gifts which were given to him and the interior and mystical sufferings which accompanied them allowed him constantly to participate in the Lord's agonies, never wavering in his sense that Calvary is the hill of the saints." From a young age, as we study his life, we know he wanted to be a Capuchin Franciscan. And since his family was very poor, I believe his father was actually heroic in actually coming to the United States so he could earn enough money so that he could enter religious life. And after celebrating Mass on September 20th, 1918, offering prayers of thanksgiving before the crucifix, Padre Pio received the stigmata. His hands, his feet and side were pierced with the nail marks and the lance wound of the crucified Christ. I first came to know about him as a little boy. My grandmother and great aunt had a special devotion to him, and at some place in the booklet there was a picture, and so they had to explain to me what the stigmata was. I'm not sure I totally grasped it in fourth grade, but I shook my head because obviously anything your grandmother tells you has to be right. But I remember that fondly because, after all, if someone like a grandmother has a devotion to somebody, you know he has to be special. And so in my studies and in my travels, I was able to not only learn more about him, but also to visit the monastery where he was. And how fitting the words of today's gospel, like St. Peter, through his life, he came to know Jesus, the Christ of God, the Anointed One. In the gospel, of course, Jesus was preparing his apostles for the scandal of the cross. And Padre Pio was a reminder to that fact for the people of the 20th century. Just last night, we were talking about the feast tomorrow, and someone said, "Well, I had a friend who was a soldier, and when he was in Italy during the Second World War, he actually went to the monastery and got to go to confession to Padre Pio." And as he finished his confession, Padre Pio said, "And?" I've had that experience myself. I made a terrible mistake. One time in my priesthood, I had my spiritual director live with me. And so I loved to go to confession every week, and so I went one particular time and I confessed my sins. And like Padre Pio, he said, "And?" So I said, "Well, could you give me a hint?" And he said, "Well, Bishop," he said, "you know, last night at the dinner table, you weren't very charitable about that priest." I said, "Well, I confess that." And then I said, "Is there anything else?" But you know, Padre Pio had that unique gift. He could read souls. The spiritual director just happened to be present when I committed my own lack of charity. Remember the scripture text from the gospel. "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Padre Pio would refer to the cross as a token of love, for Jesus freely accepted his sufferings so that he would redeem us, opening the gates of paradise and yet at the same time inviting each of us to the foot of the cross. Indeed, sisters, in your radical commitment to Christ, you are invited to live out your vowed life, always passing by the foot of the cross, in the virtues of humility and obedience and simplicity and the redemptive value of suffering. Jose Escrivá, in his work, Christ is Passing By, says, do you see? Do you see the daily cross? No day without a cross. Not a single day in which we are not to carry the cross of the Lord, in which we are not to accept his yoke. There's a wonderful story told in the writings of our newest saint, Saint Teresa of Calcutta. She was standing there in India, the convent, and the sisters were going out, obviously, to serve the poor and to embrace the sick. And one sister went by. And I'm sure kindly, Mother Teresa said, sister, go back to the chapel. You're leaving without Jesus. Go back to the chapel. Make sure you have Jesus in your heart before you leave. And she said, she did, and she went out. But she went out with the love of Christ, which is the task for all of us. That's why we have to go by the foot of the cross, to make sure in our ministry, our service, our life, whether it's one of prayer or one of apostolic vigor or one of taking care of those around us, that we bring Jesus, that we're willing to accept his yoke. St. John Paul II, reflecting on John 14:1, said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe. He said the life of this humble son of St. Francis was a constant act of faith, strengthened by the hope of heaven, where he could be with Christ. And as we think about it this morning, could any of us dare to wish for anything more? Padre Pio also reminds us that with our radical commitment come the trials as we are placed in the crucible of purification, a path of gradual assimilation to Christ. These days, I'm fortunate. Some of you know I'm a co-founder of a small community in South America, and two of the brothers are living with me and studying, thanks to the generosity of the Jesuits at St. Louis University in the English language program, and then we'll go to our seminary next year. And they said, well, no, Archbishop, how will the hours of prayer be? I said, well, what time do you have to be at class? They said, at 8 a.m., and they have to travel there. I said, well, that means you'll have to leave at least by 7:30, and you'll need a little breakfast. So we'll have our adoration at 5:30 and Mass at 6:30. In the old days, when my life was more simple, I could say Mass at 8 and adoration at 7. But you know, it's wonderful to be able to pray with them. And don't we all have to make those kinds of commitments, small as they are, so that we can be more and more open to all that Christ wants to do for us. In the end, of course, it's abandoning ourselves to the heart of Jesus. And when you're in the novitiate, and you finally reached to the top of the mountain, and I call to mind here the wonderful words of St. John Paul when he talked about the Transfiguration. And you know, we're working as novices and as seminarians to get to the top, and we finally get to the top, and we have that great experience in our vocational life of finding Jesus. And isn't it always more comfortable to sit there at the top? And isn't it too bad that our vocation calls us to go down the other side and to embrace and to face all the challenges which come our way? It's going down the other side and facing those challenges when we enter into the crucible of purification. And through God's good grace, we begin to change. One time I was doing one of the Ignatian year-long retreats, that where you meet with your confessor after several days of prayer, and it lasts a whole year. Well, one day I got to the point where I think I had reached at least the highest stage of holiness. You laugh. And I decided nothing was happening, nothing was coming. And my article was due for the diocesan newspaper. So I went to the typewriter. Nothing was happening. And I went back to the scriptures. And you know what was happening? The Lord was sharing a verse of scripture with me that I didn't want to embrace. Have you ever had that experience? If you haven't, there's a wonderful surprise in store for you. But once we embrace the word of Scripture and God's grace begins to flow into our lives, how things change, why we can't even help it. A person said to me one time, "Well, Archbishop, you're very kind." I said, "You should have met me before I had cancer." I said, "You know, the cancer was taken out, and also a few things that I didn't like about myself." Because when you get another chance at life, we have to do that, don't we? And those of you who have had that experience know exactly what I'm talking about. And by the way, those of you who had the experience, you're a lot nicer today too. Because we've entered the crucible of purification. The other thing which St. John Paul II pointed out, he said, God worked through Padre Pio to show that oftentimes miracles happen in and through our charity. He reminded us of that. And we also know a little bit of Padre Pio. He wasn't perfect, but he became a saint. And the truth is, you're not perfect either. I don't see any halos out there. And you're thinking to yourself, and we don't see one up here either, buddy. But through charity, we grow little by little in the daily miracles of life. As we open ourselves to compassion and to the generous service of our brothers and sisters in the various charisms that your community express and lives faithfully. So today, as you reflect and go about your business, like a child in the arms of its mother, let us, each one of us, through an act of faith, abandon ourselves to the divine heart of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.